SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
Dit is SBS Dutch.
Robin, how excited were you when you saw the footage?
Oh, we were tremendously excited. It took a few seconds to really sink in. And I know we all sat in the office when we first saw these pictures of the young koalas and really wanted to double and triple check that they were actually what we were seeing, because it's quite a milestone for here for us on the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. A koala, it reminds me to a possum, but they have the ladybug spots.
Yeah, they're maybe about half the size of a cat, a little bit smaller than a brush-tailed possum that people might be used to in some cities in Australia. Yeah, they're a little spotty, kind of a golden, orangey-brown colour, and yeah, these beautiful white spots which have these unique patterns on every koala.
Yeah, and you will not meet them in the wild very easily, I reckon.
No, not very often. They were once found across about 70% of Australia, but now, sadly, they're only in pretty isolated patches in southwest Western Australia, and then a few places where they've been reintroduced, like here at Mount Gibson. But yeah, they're pretty secretive and only come out at night generally.
So what happened to them? Why are they close to extinct?
So there's two big threats to the koalas. Land clearing is a big one. A lot of their habitat has been cleared, but also foxes and feral cats. So they're both introduced predators here in Australia. And they eat both the koalas, the chidich, and their prey. So one of the reasons we've been able to reintroduce the chidich here at Mount Gibson is that we have conducted fox and feral cat control and kept their numbers low, which has created a safe space for the koalas.
Yeah, and funnily enough, that's also how you found out about these four little guys.
Yeah, it's a funny story. So we'd spotted a feral cat near one of the tracks on the sanctuary, and as part of our control program, we'd put out some traps to try and catch it. And we kept finding that these traps were closed in the morning and the bait that we put inside them was gone, but there was nothing inside. So we put out some motion sensing cameras, which is something we use quite often to monitor a lot of the species we've got on the sanctuary. And we put these to watch the traps. And sure enough, when we looked at the images the next morning, what was getting into these traps and then squeezing out through a little hole that we hadn't previously noticed were these tiny little baby koalas.
Yeah, and the babies, that's the special part about it all, because, you know, the koalas are there because you introduced them yourself. What is so special about these babies?
So these babies we detected were the first independent young born here at Mount Gibson, probably in about 100 years. So, yeah, we reintroduced 45 adult koalas to the sanctuary last year. But this is our first signs that they've been breeding, and then that those young that have been born are out on their own in the world once again. And it's a really great sign that the translocation and the reintroduction program is working well here at Mount Gibson.
Yeah, can you tell me a bit more about Mount Gibson?
Yeah, so it's about 3-4 hours north of Perth, inland. It's semi-arid, so it's quite dry out here, but we've got lots of lovely woodland, eucalyptus woodland and shrubland. It's a large property, so it's something like 130,000 hectares. And over the last 10 years or so, AWC, the Australian Wildlife Conservancy, who I work for and manage the property, have conducted a really large reintroduction project here. So we established a 7,800 hectare feral predator-free area that doesn't have any foxes and feral cats. And into there, we've released a range of native Australian species that were once found here but weren't because of foxes and cats, things like numbats and bilbies, as well as some lesser-known species like woylies, which are like a really tiny wallaby. And yeah, in recent years, we've expanded our program to beyond that fenced area and started releasing more species into the broader sanctuary, like the quolls.
Yeah, and the quolls that you reintroduced there, where did they came from?
So they came from, some of them came from other wild populations in Western Australia. So there's a few spots where they're still hanging on down and around Perth. And then
so,
we also
so you
released...
can catch them and then relocate them. That doesn't hurt them.
Yeah, yeah. We work closely with the Department of Conservation here in WA to figure out where there are healthy populations. And you only ever take a small number so that those populations that do exist remain healthy. But yeah, you put out traps with a stinky chicken in it, pieces of chicken, which the quolls seem to love. And they'll wander into the trap, and then the next morning you can scoop them up and you transport them very carefully up to Mount Gibson. And after a health check, they get released onto the sanctuary in their new home.
Yeah, so they are obviously carnivores, not like the possums chewing on leaves.
Yeah, yeah. So the quolls probably out here on sanctuary will eat little small mammals, so things like rabbits and hopping mice. Probably small lizards, so skinks and geckos, and then they'll eat lots of little bugs as well, so spiders and things like that.
Yeah, and are they friendly animals, or are they more a bit like the devils, the Tassie devils?
They're surprisingly nice to work with. I think when we first started working with them, we were all a bit worried that these little carnivores might be a little bit feisty, and they've certainly got a little bit of attitude. But yeah, they vary in personality, but... once you're working with them, they're quite nice to work with. But certainly once they're out in the wild, they've got a little bit of fight to them too.
Mm. Now, I'm wondering if sanctuaries like Mount Gibson are open to public, as in can you visit and see what kind of work you do?
Here at Mount Gibson, we've got a campground that's open to the public. So that will open up in May, and we have a season that runs through till later in the year. Otherwise, we're generally not open to public visits, but people can follow along with what we do online as well.
Mm. What is the ultimate goal for the quolls?
The ultimate goal here will be to establish a self-sustaining population in the wild at Mount Gibson. So this year, we're going to continue with some further releases, hopefully, if all goes to plan over the next few months. And yeah, hopefully they will continue to breed and have more babies and form a self-sustaining population that can carry on in this area for many years to come.
Yeah, and you release them close to the sanctuary?
Yeah, so we've kind of got an area where we've done particularly intense control of the foxes and feral cats, and we identify the areas which are the best habitat for them, and then, yeah, release them in the sanctuary and keep track of them after release.
Yeah, just one little thing about the little juveniles. Their names, they are so cute.
Yeah, so we've taken them to naming them after biscuits. So we've got things like Oreo and Tim Tam and Monte Carlo. And I think the idea behind that was that when they're that small, they're very sweet. And also kind of the idea was that they're freshly baked here at Mount Gibson. So yes, we've given them some silly names.
Yeah, that's really great. We've got some photos and some video footage from the release of them. Because, of course, you catch them and you check them out and documented all their spots and everything. So you can recognize them for the next time, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So we were lucky we were able to catch up a couple of these youngsters. And then, yeah, like you say, we record the spot pattern of all these squalls because just like humans have unique fingerprints and zebras have unique stripes, the spot patterns on the quolls are unique. So it means that when they do show up on our motion sensing cameras, we can keep track of where they're moving and who's surviving and moving through which parts of the landscape.
Yeah, well, the video footage is very cute. The photos are as well. So if you're interested, please go to our website, sbs.com.au/Dutch. And thank you so much for explaining and sharing these wonderful news about the quolls.
Thanks for speaking to us. It's great to share the news.
Like, deel, geef je reactie. Volg SBS Dutch op Facebook.